Hello again, internet friends. My name is Anthony Russo. Some of you may know me as The Bible is Funny on Instagram. Welcome back to The Bible is Funny podcast. I am once again at my house. My kids are all asleep. My dog Penny has found her spot on the couch. Rachel is doing a very complicated, Rachel's my wife, she's doing a very complicated Star Wars coloring sheet that she is looking forward to completing in its entirety. If you're a parent, is it not the worst feeling in the world when you are coloring with your kid and you're having a really great time? Coloring is so cathartic to me. And you get right, you took this thing seriously, you stayed inside the lines, you pressed down on the crayon at different points, you know, for emphasis, and then you get right to the end, and your kid is like, oh, mama or dada, can I help you with that one? Can I help you do that? And you're like, no, it was going to be so good. And it doesn't matter. Like, you know it doesn't matter, because it's a coloring sheet, so you have to let them do it, but it's pretty devastating. Anyway, she's going to knock out a couple of those while we're doing a podcast tonight. Excited to talk about this today. Another big one, another one close to my heart. I think I'm going to tell you guys some stories as we go along here. I kind of liked the way that felt in the first couple, so we're going to keep that track today. With a story from Acts 20. This is from a story involving Paul from Acts 20, starting in verse 7. And going through verse 9. So, Acts 20, verse 7 through 9. Paul is talking to a group here, starting in verse 7. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. Now, this is something, I am this person 100%. Where I just never leave places, especially places I like really want to go and I'm having a really good time talking. And like, it is terrible for people that I go places with. My wife getting obviously the brunt of most of this. I'm just never going to leave. We start walking towards the door and I start another story or I start another observation or I ask another question. I am so bad about this. So immediately when I read this verse, it feels like a very personal thing to me. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. 100% me. Oh man, especially when we're out of town. If we're out of town and I'm not going to get to see these people again in person for a while, I'm talking up way too late. People are falling asleep while we're hanging out, and I just keep pushing. I have no sense of when you're supposed to wrap things up. Verse 8, there were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. It's a pretty nightmarish verse for anyone who has done any sort of public speaking. There's no way to shortcut it. Paul bored someone to death. Yeah, verse 9. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. Again, I'm reading from the NIV in that verse 9. Almost feels like a little jab there from the author of just like an acknowledgement of like, yeah, he was kind of in it. You know, it was one of those Sundays where we knew we were all going to be late to lunch kind of deals. We were 40 minutes into the sermon on point one. We just knew. We knew what we were getting into. A young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. I can laugh because in verse 10, I'll just read it. Verse 10, Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive. Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. This is verse 11. after talking until daylight. So Paul doesn't even get this note really about maybe he's going on too long. He stays and talks until daylight. Then he leaves. Verse 12, the people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. This is why I can laugh, because the kid was okay. Everything was fine. But man, here's the thing. And I'll even go back to me being in this situation. I feel like everyone's still really engaged with me. I feel like I'm still really vibing with everybody and we're just all having a great time. It's important to have people in your life who can alert you. Hey, we're not having a good time anymore, man. We're tired and we want to go to bed. Please let us go to bed. That's the situation Paul finds himself in here. I love that. He went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. And after talking until daylight, he left. Bores a kid to death, brings the kid back, and says, by the way, I was only on point two, and we've got a whole outline to get through tonight. So everybody, get your snacks, get back in your spot, and we're going to finish this thing up. The thing is, an interesting note in verse 8, too, there are many lamps in the upstairs room. And maybe that's like an ambiance lighting situation. Maybe that's what we're talking about there. It was like kind of that soft lit lamp. So it was just more conducive to the sleeping nature. He was up on the window, get that cool breeze going too, you know? It was probably... And then the things, I don't know how accurate these are, but the things they're always wearing when they're depicted, the robe things, boy, that feels like that would be easy to fall asleep in to me. That just feels like you've got that sort of ever... present warmness, like a bit like a Snuggie. It's almost a similar design to the Snuggie, I think. You have the blanket with the arms. So you have some of those factors coming in. But the kid, Paul bores the young man to sleep. Verse 9 also points out it was a young man named Eutychus. And I've often thought about this verse and thought how funny it is. There's so many people that do ministry with the best hearts. I'm not making fun of them for this intention or for how they do this. I just think it's an interesting parallel. You're like, how do we reach the young people? You know, how do you reach millennials? How do you reach Gen Z? We always got to try and how do we reach the young people? That's what we got to do. We got to get out there and reach the young people. And here's like Paul's strategy of you talk until they fall asleep. Just talk them right out. I love that. So Eutychus falls asleep while Paul's talking. Here's what I want to bring that up for today. A couple things. Let me tell you my story. One, the first time I remember talking in front of anybody, I was in fifth grade. I was in my Bible study or my little Sunday school class. Look at me trying to call it a Bible study. It was a Sunday school class. I was in fifth grade. And they gave everybody in the class, we were all going to run Sunday school. So someone was in charge of like leading the song and doing the motions, and someone was in charge of like doing the trivia game that we started with or whatever. And someone was in charge, you know, everyone had their little jobs. And I was given the job of doing the message for that Sunday school class. I was in fifth grade, I want to say that again, and I was in charge of doing the message for this Sunday school class. This is such a wild expectation for a fifth grader, I feel like, for me to, you know, exegete scripture to my peers. But here I was, you know, prepping, leading up to it. My parents were like, well, what are you going to do? And I was like, well, here's what I think I'm going to talk about. And then my stepdad was like, he was like, well, how are you going to close? And I said, oh, I really hadn't thought about it. And he was like, well, you got one way that people will close their messages is with like a gospel presentation. So I was like, oh, sure. Great. Yeah, let's do that. So I gave my whole little speech. I don't know what I don't remember at this point what I talked about. I'm sure it was dynamite. I'm sure it was, you know, earth-shattering content I was delivering. Probably dropped a lot of like, you know, Greek interpretation of words and things. Just really went next level with my stuff. And then I get to the end and I'm like, all right, I'm going to end on that gospel presentation. But I had put no thought into how I was going to do the gospel presentation. This is exactly how I delivered it. This is the thing I remember most about that whole experience. I looked at this group of fifth graders and I said, you guys, if a boulder came crashing down through this roof right now and just crushed all of us and we died, the boulder, we're all dead. Do you know that if you would go to heaven? Let's bow our head, close our eyes, show me some hands. If that boulder is coming and you don't know, you can't look at that boulder and say, you know, I know where I'm going after I do business with you, boulder. I don't remember how many hands were raised that day. I'm sure it was none. But maybe one day I bump into somebody at Target or something and they're like, I just want to let you know I was in that boulder message you gave. And that was the turning point for me, man. That's not going to happen. But that was my first time speaking. It did not go well at all. Probably the moment I decided I was not going to be someone who speaks like really. I was going to have to find something else if I was going to be in front of people. The teaching the Bible thing wasn't for me. So obviously I started a podcast about reading through the Bible. The second thing was I've been doing comedy since I was like 15 years old. I've been doing comedy for a really long time. And I have flashes back to, you know, really awful decisions that I made early on stage. None worse than one time my girlfriend at the time, who is now my wife, who's doing the coloring sheets we talked about earlier, was in the crowd. And I was doing a game, or I was supposed to be usher, and I took my shirt off at the church youth group improv comedy show that I was doing. I totally half-stripped. And I think back on that time, and I'm like, that was such a bad decision. And that was so poorly thought out, poorly executed, certainly not very funny. I was like 110 pounds dripping wet at that point in my life. This is not a good look. And yet, there I was doing it. Here's where I'm going with these stories, and with the story of our dear friend Paul boring someone to sleep. I think sometimes people get in their heads a little bit and they think they have something they're passionate about. And maybe it is like getting up in front of people and talking or sharing about something you care a lot about. Maybe it's just a project that you want to do, that you feel you is burning up inside you. You want to do it. You want to bring this thing to life. And you can kind of get in your own head and you can say, well, I'm not qualified to do this or talk about this. I'm not going to do it well. People aren't going to receive it well from me. Who am I to be talking about that? I don't know enough about that to really do anything, to really act on those things. And that's not all in your head. There will be people that will speak into that too. They'll tell you you're not qualified for reasons completely out of your control. And they'll tell you you shouldn't be doing this. And they'll imply different things. I just want to tell you this. If you're doing that in your head and you're sort of thinking through those things, and then even if you get past that and you're like, I'm going to do it, but what if I give that talk, or what if I talk about this issue that means something to me and people don't really like what I have to say, or they disagree with what I have to say, or they're bored by how I say it, or you put out a product out into the world and somebody's not going to like it. Somebody's going to say that this stinks and give you a bad review or something. This stinks is what the real trolls on the internet say. That's what the real nasty ones say when they leave bad reviews. This stinks. I just want to tell you to take this story to heart. Here's Paul. Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament. Paul, whose impact on the church cannot be overstated in the history of the world. Paul is quoted so much. Paul's letters he wrote have really formed the church as we know it and has for the last several hundreds of years. And at one point in Paul's professional life, he bored someone to death. So I'm telling you this, if you want to speak, you want to perform, you want to create, whatever it is you want to do, you're going to bore someone to death, at least one person. Let's hope it's just the one. But you're going to bore someone to death. Someone's going to disagree with you. Someone is going to not care about what you're doing, even just not care as much as you might want them to. There's going to be people that are just not quite with what it is you're doing. Don't let that stop you from doing it. Go out there and do it anyway. Get down there, bring that kid back to life, and finish up your talk that you were giving. Don't let them falling asleep slow you down in the least bit. And that's my encouragement for you today. If you're enjoying the Bible is Funny podcast, subscribe, leave a review, tell your friends, share it. Anything you could do to help us get the word out, super appreciate it. If you're not already, follow the Instagram at The Bible is Funny. And we'll see you next podcast. Bye, everybody.